Well, my name is Drew Humphrey, and I come from a church called Highland in Waco, Texas, which is the church that all of us Texans, we go to. And I started to think about it over the last 5 years as we've been coming to Northeast England. I started to just think about the impact of university students coming here and their lives being changed by being able to partner in ministry with you, each one of you. And the word that we use when we talk about this trip, when we talk about coming here, is we talk about family. Like, this is family to Highland, you know? And so I don't want you to think that we're just stopping in year after year, but this to us is a place that we pray for and a place that we talk about. And I was counting it up this week, and we've had 90 Highlanders, that's what we call us, Highlanders. We've had 90 Highlanders come with us to North England over the last 5 years, and that's family, right? I mean, that's just to be able to bring those people in, and now they're all over the States, you know, as they've graduated, but North England and Hexham and Burtley and now Sunderland are a part of them as they go. And so this is an important just week for us. And I just thank you so much that you bring us into this place. So if you have your Bibles today, we're going to turn to Genesis chapter 49. And if you're new to the Bible, it's going to be the first book of the Bible. And it's about the second to last chapter. So just turn a few pages in and you're going to be there. Genesis chapter 49. The text will be on your screen. But before we get there, there's an important story about an Englishman named Sir Edmund Hillary. Is that a name that's popular around here? Sir Edmund Hillary. All right, good. I'm glad. So I'm going to fill in the Texans a little bit on what this guy did, okay? So Sir Edmund Hillary, it was about 60 or 70 years ago that he first attempted to climb to the peak of Mount Everest. And in his first attempt, and maybe first multiple attempts, I'm not sure, but certainly his first attempt, he failed. He didn't make it to the top, and he returned back to England, and he was the first. He eventually became the first person to conquer Mount Everest, the very first person in the entire world. This is about 60 or 70 years ago. But before, 53, was that it? 1953, that was the year. So I'll do some math. It's somewhere in there, 60 or 70-ish years, 1953. As he failed that first time, though, he was knighted by the Queen of England. And so they had this big ceremony for him, even after his failure. And at this gala occasion, on the wall behind this big table was a painting of Mount Everest. And as they kind of celebrated him, the people gave him a standing ovation, even just for daring to attempt this climb. But when they had ceased applauding, Hillary, he turned his back to the audience and he faced the picture, as you can imagine, with everyone behind him, all these people standing, and the room goes silent. He faces this painting of Mount Everest, and he says this, "Mount Everest, you defeated me once, and you might defeat me again, but I'm coming back again and again, and I'm going to win, because you can't get any bigger, Mount Everest, but I can." That's what he said, and then sure enough, he did it. The first one, "You can't get any bigger, Mount Everest, but I can." And Jesus, he actually calls many of our struggles in life, many of the things that we carry, he calls them mountains. You know, and so as I think about that story, I just think about that our life is full of these Mount Everest-sized obstacles. Whatever it may be, I don't need to list them off. You can think in your life what these obstacles are like. But many of us, we struggle with how do we approach this climb? How do we do this with God, not just on our own? And many times when we try to do it on our own, we end up failing. But it's not the mountain or the obstacle that can grow most times. It's to have more strength. It's the climber, spiritually, who can grow to have more strength. And so what does that look like to grow bigger and better? And as believers, if you're a believer in this room, you probably already know where I'm going with this. Growth doesn't come from ourselves, but growth comes from God. Growth comes from allowing him to grow us, allowing him to strengthen us, and that eventually we might grow bigger and stronger to overcome whatever obstacle might be in our path. And so the main character in our story today is a man named Joseph. And Joseph knew this. Joseph knew this, that the obstacles that were ahead of him, he could never climb on his own, but he had to be with God. He had to know God. He had to be matured and to strengthened by God. And eventually he was able to climb this incredible mountain in his life. And so where we're picking up the story is in Genesis chapter 49, verse 22. And this is actually when his father Jacob, and it's also known as Israel, Israel blesses his 12 sons, Jacob being one of them. So we'll pick up the story in verse 22 on Joseph's blessing from his father, but this blessing won't make sense if you don't know about the story of Joseph. And so real briefly, this is one of my favorite sections in the book of the Bible. If you've never read the Bible, go read the end of Genesis about Joseph's life. But basically, he was a son of 12. He had 12 brothers, and his brothers were jealous of him because his father loved him. very deeply. And so they grew jealous of him. And so what they did was is they ended up tricking him out in the field and they sold him into slavery. And for about 11 years, he was in slavery, enslaved to this man by the name of Potiphar. And he worked for this man. And one day, about 11 years in, Potiphar's wife had started to try to seduce Joseph. And over again, she tries and Joseph denies and Joseph denies until finally the Bible says that Joseph just got up and ran away one time. Well, that upset Potiphar's wife and she told lies about him saying that he was trying to approach her and to seduce her. And so Potiphar, his master, not now instead of slavery, he's put him into prison. And so for 2 years, you know, he didn't do anything to his brothers to create this scenario that he got. And now he's in this, and now he's a slave. And then he's there for 11 years. He's a faithful servant in an Egyptian household. He doesn't do anything wrong. And now he's in prison for 2 years. And when he's in prison, he just sits there and he waits and he says, God, what are you doing? God, what is this mountain? How can I get out of this place? How can I climb out of this place? Why do you have me here? And it's 2 years later that Pharaoh comes to him and says, I need you to interpret a dream. He takes his gift and he interprets a dream for Pharaoh. And because of that interpretation, because of that being true, you might remember, Pharaoh raises him up to one of the most powerful seats in the Egyptian nation. And all of a sudden, he has all of this power. God brought him through all of this life. And what God ends up using this for is not just to give Joseph power, but to bring the people of God into Egypt for the next chapter of their story. So he ends up bringing his brothers and his family into Egypt and begins this nation of Israel. And if you ever read Exodus, then you pick up the story right there in Egypt when instead of just a few people in a family, Joseph and his brothers, we're now at 2 million Jewish people in Egypt, right? So this whole story of God bringing him through, and he brings us right to this moment, right to the deathbed of his father to receive the blessing from Joseph. So let's read this passage starting in verse 22. This is the blessing from Joseph's father. Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over a wall. With bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot him with hostility, but his bow remained steady and his strong arms stayed limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob. Because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, because of your father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you with blessings of the skies above, with blessings of the deep springs below, with blessings of the breast and womb. Your father's blessings are greater than the blessings of the ancient mountains, than the bounty of the age-old hills. Let all these rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince among his brother. That's our text for this morning. And we can learn, I believe, three lessons from the blessing of Joseph. If we want to live a blessed life where when we approach these mountains, when we approach these things in our life, God can show us something through the life of Joseph, through this blessing. And I want us to see three things this morning. The first thing is from verse 22, and the verse can come back on the screen here. It's this, that being rooted in the stream of God grows us to greater places. Being rooted in the stream of God grows us to greater places. Look again at verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over a wall. Not just around a wall, not just up to the wall to stop, but who climb over this wall. And it seems to imply that the only reason that this branch can climb over a wall is because this fruitful vine is planted near a stream. And so Joseph was planted in the stream of God in his life, into God's strength, into God's power, and it took him to these greater places. And you already heard the story before, but what are these greater places? It took him out from being this hated one in his own family and led him up to the highest honor in Egypt to bring about the purposes of God in his life. He climbed this incredible wall. He climbed this Mount Everest mountain in his life, not because of his own strength, not because he was trying the right things. He was doing everything the right way. He was doing everything the right way, but it was God's hand. It was the stream of God that lifted him over the wall. And so I ask us today, what are the unclimbable walls in our life? I mean, think about Joseph. He'd been in prison and in slavery for 13 years. Think about the darkness and just the depression that he was experiencing, the mountain, the wall he was looking at. Think about how unclimbable that must have appeared. Many times for us, as we look at our walls, as we look at our mountains in our lives, what happens is that we focus more on the wall or on the mountain, and we forget the God that we're planted in. I heard a quote by a man that I respect by the name of Mark Batterson. And he said this. He said, at some point, you have to stop talking to God about your mountain and start talking to your mountain about your God. At some point, you've got to stop talking to God about your mountain and start talking to your mountain about your God. And that doesn't disqualify prayer. That doesn't mean we shouldn't continue to pray to God and continue to press into him and say, God, would you move? Would you work through me? But when does that actually become application, as the video said? When does that actually become action is the question. You know, Joseph did this with Pharaoh. When Pharaoh came knocking on his prison cell door, Pharaoh said, I need you to interpret my dream. I've heard rumors that you can interpret dreams. Can you interpret this? It seems like an important thing that I need to know about. And this is what Joseph said. He said this. He interpreted his dream and he looked straight into his mountain's face, Pharaoh's face, the most powerful man in the world. He looked straight into his face and he said, I cannot do it, but God can do it. God can do it. How many of us are looking dead in the eyes of our mountain? The struggles that we're going through in the family or in our own hearts, the depression that we're walking through or the financial issues that we're going through or the jobs that we're looking for or the direction of our life or anything else. And we look at it and we look at it straight in the face and say, I cannot do this, but God can do this because I am planted near a stream that can lift me over this wall. Some of us were here on Wednesday night for a little worship night. And Dale, one of our other trip leaders from Sunderland, he brought us a message from John chapter 15. Jesus talks about vines and branches and growth. And this is what Jesus says himself in John chapter 15, verse 5. He says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. If you remain or abide, your translation might say abide. If you abide in me and I in you, then you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. And so maybe you've been spinning your tires this year. Maybe there's a wall in your life that's just been year after year after year, season after season of spinning your tires. And I challenge us to say, have we really been planting our roots in the stream of God? Because the word says that when we do that, we can do anything. But apart from that, we can do nothing. So let's plant ourselves this year near the stream of God, and we will climb these unclimbable walls. Let's continue in verse 23. Here's the second point that I think we have. Let's reread verse 23. With bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot at him with hostility, but his bow remained steady, and his strong arms stayed limber. Here's the second lesson we can learn from Joseph's life, from the blessing of Joseph. Attacks from the enemy will come, but remain faithful and be ready to be used by God. At every turn, there were attackers in Joseph's life. God was trying to do something in Joseph's life, not just for himself, but for his entire nation. It's the reason we're here today. It's the reason that Jesus was able to come through. It was a part of God's story to bring Joseph through this. And he said, even in these attackings, Joseph was remaining faithful. Even when his brothers threw him into slavery, he remained faithful. Even when Potiphar's wife lied about him, he remained faithful. Even in the prisons, when some of the people who were there had forgotten about him, the cupbearer, if you remember this story, and the baker, they had forgotten about him, which left him in prison for another 2 years, he remained faithful, and he didn't lower his bow of faith. And I want you to think about this. Archers in combat, Jacob here, who's giving the blessing, he gives us an illustration of archers. Archers in combat can come in a couple different ways. Sometimes they come in a large group. Right, and they stand at a far off distance, and at one moment they release their arrows, and it sends all these arrows to attack someone, right? And you always read in stories or see in Lord of the Rings, right? It's like, you know, their arrows blotted out the sun, right? You know, it's just all of these arrows flying through the sky. That was Joseph and his brothers. He was ambushed by his brothers. The archers attacked him with so many of these things. And sometimes in our lives, that can happen to us when we just see all of these things coming at us at once, all of these things coming where we can't even get out of the way. But sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes it's like Potiphar's wife, when it's just this single archer hiding in the trees, right? Just waiting for us to make our move before they release their arrow. If you've ever seen The Hunger Games, like Katniss Everdeen, right? You know, just waiting there, boom, release. Right, and it can be just sometimes just something that we don't even notice, not something that blots out the sun like the other archers, but this little thing that can hit us. But if we aren't aware of it, then sometimes it can de-steady us. We can't stay steady. See, these archers, the Bible calls them archers of bitterness. and archers of hostility. They come at us in many different ways. They silently fly their arrows through the air. But the calling for us is that like Joseph, we may remain steady, as verse 24 says, in our faith. In verse 24, my translation, it says steady. But you can actually also interpret that with it to mean that the bow remained drawn. All right, and I don't know if you've ever, like, you know, done any archery or anything like that, but one time, I don't know if you guys remember Kyle Dunn from a few years ago, who used to be a pastor at our church, now he's in Tennessee, but he took us to go have some fun as a staff to go shoot these bow and arrows, right, and just to shoot at a target and to have some fun with it. So the new bows, they're compound bows, so you pull them back and it kind of holds it for yourself so you can just kind of relax, right? But in these days, they had it like you see in Lord of the Rings or these other movies or whatever, where it's this bow that just has pure tension, and as soon as you release it, it goes. So one time I was trying that one, and the second I released it, boom, it just went, right? I had no strength to remain steady. I mean, it was just, I thought I would be able to hold it back. I was the strong college guy. The second I get it to here, it just releases, right? That tension is so tight. That tension on the bow is so tight. But without tension, our arrows go nowhere. Without tension, our arrows go nowhere. And so even though in life as we pull these back, even in life as archers are attacking us, even as life as our bow is holding tight and there's that tension in our life going right there, without that tension, our arrows go nowhere. And so I don't know if you've ever tried to shoot an arrow out of a bow that's not drawn. If you just hit it like that, it just kind of just falls on the ground, right? It needs the tension, but the tension takes struggle. The tension takes effort. The tension takes focus and preparation to hold it. Otherwise, you'll be like me and just like release it the second the tension hits because you're not strong enough. And that's what the Lord is calling us to do, is to equip ourselves, to train ourselves, to say, God, I don't want to just be someone who just kind of hits my bow and it kind of falls out. But God, I want to be someone, God, how do I become someone who can draw my bow and remain steady? Even when other archers, even in other mountains are in front of me, how can I do this, God? What can I do to do this? How can I even look at the tension, the struggle, the depths of darkness that's all around me in this world that's pressing in on me? And how can I remain strong? How can I hold my ground? How can I hold steady in my faith? And let's see what it says about Joseph and finish off this passage as we wrap up this text. Here's what it says about Joseph. It says in the second half of verse 24, that his arms remained strong. His arms remained limber. His bow was drawn, second half of verse 24, because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob. Not because of his strength, but because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob. Because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. Because of your father God who helps you. Because of the Almighty who blesses you. The strength in the arms of Jacob were not because of his own strength, but it was because he was planted in the streams of the Father who pulled his arms back and who held him right there every single time. And I think too many times we try to be the hero and carry the weight of our burden. We try to be the hero and climb these massive walls. We try to be the hero and endure these arrows or endure this tension on our bow on our own. Or we try to be the hero and we try to earn our salvation. And we try to do enough good things to hopefully stand strong and to climb over this wall, this unclimbable wall that we could never get over ourselves, that without God, without Jesus helping us, we could never get over this wall to have relationship with him. But look at these verses again. I love what God's doing in his word here. The second half of verse 24 and the beginning of verse 25, who does it? It says, because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob. That sounds like God the Father to me. Because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. That sounds like God the Son, Jesus, to me. And because of your father's God who helps you. That sounds like the Holy Spirit to me. Because of the Almighty God, the one who has all of these things, who is the fullness of God, the Trinity. Because of God, the Father and Creator. Because of God, the Savior, the Son. Because of God, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, our bow can remain strong. Our bow of faith, this tension that we feel in our life, we can remain strong. And here's what I think the illustration is for us today. I think about, I don't have a son myself, but one day when I do have a son, if I ever maybe take him out to play around with a bow and arrow or something, you know, maybe it's like a father's arms who reach his arms around his son's arm and who pulls it back for him, right? And who just helps him hold it tight. so that he can remain steady, so that he can operate in the way that this is supposed to operate. And I think God does that for us, right? In our faith, it's not just like, here's a bow, good luck with your faith. But it's that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the fullness of God reaches his arms around us and he draws the bow of faith with our hands on that and he holds us tight as the archers come at us, as the things around us come, as the tension gets more tiring, all of these things, the Father's arms reach around us. And this is what we see in Joseph's life, a strong God who helps us in our weakness and in our struggles. It wasn't Joseph who had all of the giftings himself. It was God's gifting in him. It wasn't Joseph who had organized this plan to be sold into slavery by his brothers and then to be turned into a prisoner and then to be raised up. It was God's plan. It wasn't Joseph holding the bow. It was God's arms reaching around him, holding him strong in all of these things. This is what we see in our life and in our faith. And so the question is, are you tired of trying to remain steady on your own? Because I know I've been there. I've been so tired of this tension in my life. When I can't do it, we can't do it. We need the Almighty's help. We need God the Father. We need God the Son. We need God the Holy Spirit to help us and to steady us and to help us climb these walls. Only being planted and rooted in those streams can we do it, and only by faith in Jesus Christ can we do it. The greatest strength for each of us is our faith in Jesus Christ. That is our greatest strength. It is our greatest gifting, and it is offered to everyone to have faith in Jesus Christ. And so the question is for us is where are we on that spectrum? Have we put our faith in Christ, but we just aren't letting him reach around us to draw the bow? Or is it that maybe we've never put our faith in Christ at all, and so we've just been trying to do this on our own, and we're just tired, we're just weary? I'm going to wrap up this morning's message with a story about a head football coach. All right, I'm an American, so American football coach. We go to a college in Texas. There's a college over on the East Coast called Clemson University, and their American football team is very good. And it's coached by a very young man who is also a very strong and vocal Christian named Dabo Sweeney. I think it's Dabo. I said it wrong. It's Texan. Dabo, all right? So Dabo Sweeney. And Dabo Sweeney had so much of this amazing influence and success in his life at such a young age. I mean, even by his mid-30s, he was in these championship games, which are so hard to get into. And he was finding all this success in recruiting young football players to come play for him. And he was asked this question one time, and they asked him, how do you do this? How do you continue to be so successful at such a young age? This is what he said. He said, "People often call me an overachiever, but I'm not an overachiever, I'm an overbeliever." He said, "I'm not an overachiever, I'm an overbeliever." And when I heard him say that on the sports talk radio that day, I said, "That is good." Because I think too many of us, we're trying to overachieve on our own with our bow. We're trying to climb these walls, climb these mountains, and become an overachiever. And what Dabo was saying to us is that he was saying, it's not about my what I've done on my own. It's not about these things. It's that I believe for him in these guys. There's a culture of belief. And because we believe in each other, because we believe in what we're doing, because we believe in the plays that we've drawn up and the strategy to win, that's why we're successful. Not because of our own achievements, but because of our over-believing. And how many of us in our faith, we categorize our faith or we live our faith out like overachievers and not over-believers? And so I think for me this year, that's my goal this year, is not to say, "God, what else can I take? What else can I do? What other things can, how much farther can my ministry go? How many more people might become disciples because of your work in me?" But God, instead of thinking about overachieving, God, might I just rest in being an overbeliever? Might I just rest in being an overbeliever? So here's how we'll wrap up this morning, and I'm sure the band's going to come up at some point here in the midst of this, but we're going to continue in worship, and we're going to open up the altars this morning. If you're a believer here today, I have a calling to you. The believers here today, there might be a wall or a mountain in front of you right now, and my challenge to you is to be like Joseph. Be like the vine that's rooted and planted in the stream of God to come over the mountain, to grow over it, and to be like Joseph in that all these arrows that are coming at you and the tension of your bow as you draw it back, that you would let God be the one who steadies you. Let God be the one who does that so that it's not your achievement, but your belief in him as an over-believer to hold steady in those times. And then my final challenge is to the unbelievers here. I said this earlier and I meant it, that there's no greater wall, there's no greater mountain in the human's life than the separation between man and God. And it's not God's fault, it's our fault. Our own sin has separated us in such a way that we could never reconcile this gap. We could never remain steady. We could never climb over this wall without him. If you try to overachieve to get right with God, it will not happen. The Bible says that it is belief in Jesus Christ that is the thing that lifts us over that wall. That belief in Jesus Christ is what saves us. That belief in Jesus Christ, not achievement, but belief, is the thing that will bring the kingdom of God into our life personally. If you've been around some of the Texans or some of the different church members this week who are believers to you non-believers today, I ask you this question. Have you seen something good in their life? Have you seen something, you know, a little bit extra in their life, something a little bit special, something maybe even a little bit supernatural in their life? Maybe you've seen it this week or in the weeks past or in the years past. That's not our achievement. That's our belief in Jesus. That's our belief in Jesus being in us and through us and working through us. And you can have that today. Your life can be different. We were once old, different, broken people. And because of Christ, because of belief in Christ, we're now a new creation, the Bible says. The old has gone and the new has come. And now we can remain strong and steady in whatever trial because the Father's arms are reached around us, drawing the bow back, not because of our overachieving, but because of our overbelieving. Hexham, Burtley, Sunderland, Durham, Highland, let's be overbelievers in Jesus Christ this year. Let's pray together. Yes, Lord, we just come to you today and we say, God, that without you, we could do nothing. That's what you told us, that you said apart from you, we could do nothing. And God, I confess that in my life, I have tried to do things. I have tried to scale mountains. I have tried to climb to the top. I've tried to stand firm and steady against the archers that are coming against me, Lord, on my own. And I've grown weak and weary and tired. But Lord, I have seen your goodness. God, I have seen your strength in my life when I don't try to achieve, but God, I try to over-believe. And so God, raise us up as believers. God, we are born again believers. Not born again achievers, but God, we are born again believers. And we plant our roots deeply into that stream of God this year. God, give us vision to know where to go this year. God, as we take ground in Northeast England, as we take ground in Texas, God, would you give us a great vision and a great clarity as to where to go and to how to do it, God. And not every idea is a good idea, God. So would you help us to just see the right ideas, to see the right things and to see your things, God, because we're planted in you, not because we're strong enough to hold the bow, but because your arms are firmly wrapped around ours, holding the bow steady and still, Lord. So aim us this year. God, aim us this year. God, we put our belief in you. Shame we pray. Amen.
Amen.